morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Trinity Sunday. I'm so glad to see you all here today. Believe it or not, my voice is like so much better. Like I could barely talk. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. The only announcement I have is that The Valley is out. You've gotten it in your email. There are some printed copies in the back if you would like one. And I can't think of any other announcements unless somebody else has one. Yes.
Just Mike's youngest is—he's gone because his youngest is having a baby this morning.
Oh, how exciting! Mike Love, his youngest child is having a child, so Mike Love is going to be a grandpa. Yay! I mean, and by extension, Lynn. Okay, so with that, let us place our phones in their most mindful and meditative settings and prepare to worship God with our call to worship. God, our Creator, we call you Father, Mother, Author of Life. Christ, our Savior, we call you the Son, the Messiah, the One who saves. Holy Spirit, we call you the Advocate, the Inspirer, Breath and Wind of God.
Draw us closer to you, O God.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God Almighty, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Draw us closer to you, O God.
Let us praise God, the Creator,
who is filled with glory and power, with holiness and splendor.
Let us worship God, the Savior,
who is filled with love and compassion, with justice and peace.
Let us experience God the Spirit,
who fills us with faith and joy, with love and eternal life.
Let us rise in body or spirit for our opening hymn.
Thank you.
Let us, before the God of tenderness and of love, offer prayers of who we are and name those times when we have not responded to God's love. God, who is three in one, we confess that we have turned away from you.
We gaze upon ourselves as if we are worthy of worship. We take your creation into our hands, not to love, but to use and then to discard. We go to the people of the land, not to serve, but oppress them into our service. We do not deserve that you would even notice us, but we pray for mercy because you are merciful. Flame of love, purify us from sin. Eternal now, lead us to your truth. Risen One, baptize us into union with you. Transform us into faithful disciples who worship you alone.
The Holy One of Israel, the Redeemer of all the world, and the Holy Spirit who comes as the breath of new life, forgets the sins of all who repent. I declare you, therefore, that you are forgiven. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all. Friends, let us now profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Siblings, let us greet one another with signs of peace.
Come to the table of plenty. God will.
there are a couple of prayer concerns to lift up. We're still praying for our least sister, Lori, who is home now, or is out of the hospital now, and is moving to a different facility. I was just told that Sandy Salmon had a rotator cuff surgery earlier this week. So she is, also keep her in our prayers. I'm missing some people because I didn't write it down to have with me here. Ginny's daughter, Amy. Amy is back at home, but there are still some more, there are still ongoing health issues that need to be addressed. And of course, joy for a new grandchild, for the Loves. So with that, let's gather all of our prayers for the church, the world, and for all for whom we are called to be stewards. Let us pray. Creating God, we marvel at your work, the way you shaped this world from a formless void into our beautiful earth, the way you separated day and night, light and dark, to guide and mark our lives and insist on our need for rest. The water and oceans brimming with life that mark the boundaries of our land, the distant horizon and the limits of our imagination, the beat of our hearts, the inhalation of our lungs, reminding us that we are here because you created us. We live because you loved. Hear our thanks and praise, Creator, for your wondrous work. Redeeming God, we needed a teacher, a prophet, a guide through the wilderness, a savior. You blessed us with Jesus and redeemed us through his death and resurrection. Your Son is a lamp to our feet, our anticipated bridegroom who arrives with love for his church. Grateful for the way Christ saves us day in and day out, hear our thanks and praise, Redeemer, for your wondrous work. Sustaining God, you fill us with inspiration, a fire burning within us to seek your word and your way. You advocate for us throughout the ages, gift us with unique abilities, and lead us to bear healthy spiritual fruit. Holy Spirit of God, you call us together for community and communion. Hear our thanks and praise for your wondrous work, and hear the prayers from our community. We pray for those who are ill and for their caregivers. We pray for those who grieve. We pray for those who are isolated and alone. We pray for those who are overwhelmed and exhausted. We pray for those who are lost and afraid. In your mercy, beloved God, hear the prayers of your people. Now, as the body of Christ, we pray as Christ taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please rise in body or spirit for our hymn of praise. Father, I adore you. Please be seated. Let us prepare the table of the Lord with the fruits of our lives and our labors. One, your heart abounds with gifts. Receive this offering as a sign of our trust in you and in our intention to live surrounded by your mercy, inspired by your spirit, open to the joy of your presence, hospitable to one another, and generous toward your world. Amen.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but they doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." This is the reading of the word.
Please pray with me. Most holy mystery, open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts as your scripture is read and your word proclaimed, that we might gain a glimpse of your joyous life and join the dance of Father, Spirit, and Son, now and always. Amen. So today is Trinity Sunday. It's a pretty key theological belief in the faith life of Christians, and it's so important that there were dozens of councils and arguments and divisions about it in the early church. Countless people were killed because of their thoughts about how the three persons, Father or Creator, Son or Redeemer, and Holy Spirit or Sustainer, could be one divine and eternally connected being. But this is also an incredibly difficult concept to wrap our heads around. I mean, it's inconceivable, honestly. Because it's so complicated, and because the arguments seem to have happened like so long ago, and they were resolved, so like we don't really care that much about the Trinity. Okay, maybe we care, but we don't give it a whole lot of thought anymore. And I think that's a bit of a shame. Now, I also recognize that Our scripture passage for today doesn't do a lot to explain the Trinity. I mean, there's barely a mention of it beyond Jesus telling the disciples to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And that's it. There's no explanation, not even a speculation of how or whether the Son and the Spirit are co-eternal with the Father. But I'll let you in on a little secret. The doctrine of the Trinity isn't explicitly spelled out anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible will you find mention of one in three, or three in one, three persons, one essence. None of that is anywhere in the Bible. But that doesn't mean that the early church just made it up. Terms like those came from Greek philosophical concepts that helped people of the time really interpret what the Bible says about who God is and how God is present and how God is at work in the world. I want to assure you that not fully understanding, even outright doubting this mystery is okay. God is inconceivable. Even in our scripture passage for today, Matthew says that when the disciples see Jesus post-resurrection, they worship, but some still doubt. Even the people who witnessed the resurrection firsthand didn't have a perfect faith. Yet that doubt is incorporated into their worship. Again, Matthew and the rest of the New Testament has no developed doctrine of the Trinity. All Matthew knows is that Christians must speak devoutly of the Father, the Son, and Spirit in a way that doesn't violate Jewish belief in one true God. And we could take that to mean that the Trinity doesn't matter. Can't we just know, or at least say, that God is God and God somehow knows who we are and where we are and what we're doing and what we need? I guess we could. But Jesus told us to baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If we only baptized in the name of the Creator, we would deny the work and person of Christ and the ongoing activity of the Spirit. Sure, God is powerful and mysterious in this scenario, but also detached and impersonal. If we baptized solely in the name of Jesus, we'd miss God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, the part that's larger than what we can see or understand and is beyond all logic or reason. Again, we'd miss the Holy Spirit and the ongoing presence of God with us today. Okay, what if we just baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, that would miss the awesomeness and creativity of God and the redemptive work of Christ. The part of God that rose from the dead to overcome our sinfulness. We need all three persons of the Trinity. But that doesn't mean we worship three gods. There is still only one God. So rather than existing in isolation, God, from the beginning of the world through eternity, is relational. For example, between the Father and the Son, there was, is, and always will be a mutual self-giving. Whatever the Father does, the Son does. And the same is true of the Spirit. So wait, is what I'm telling you that one plus one plus one equals one? That is not how math works. Okay, well, how about this? Maybe Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God, they're each one third of a person. That would add up to one. Oh, that's not right either. This whole thing, it's inconceivable. Whether we try to emphasize either the wholeness of each member of the Trinity or the complete oneness of the Trinity, we end up with heresies. It's possible, even appropriate, to associate different works with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit in particular, but we still can't separate them. The different works of creation, salvation, sustaining, those are really just different aspects of the total work of one God. What one member of the Trinity does, what one member of the Trinity wills, the other two will also do. Where one is at work, the other two are at work also. And the purpose and the goal of any one member of the Trinity is the same as the purpose and the goal of the other two. Greater minds than mine have attempted to explain the triune God. And I don't know that I will ever fully wrap my head around it in this lifetime. But I still experiment with different ways of trying to understand the triune God. I keep coming back to perichoresis. And this is a description of the Trinity that was provided by a Greek theologian, John of Damascus. And when we break down the word, peri means around, and choresis means dancing, like choreography. John of Damascus envisions God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit as dancers who are holding hands. They aren't three independent persons who get together and they decide to form a dance troupe, because dance troupes can break up at any time if one of them decides to start a solo career. No. Each person exists only in relationship with the other two as they dance around together in harmonious, joyful freedom. They are a divine community. The doctrine of the Trinity is inconceivable. It doesn't actually try to explain the mystery of the triune God. Rather, it tries to preserve a mystery that cannot be explained without just like explaining it away in one false direction or another. Comprehending the mystery itself isn't as important as thinking about who God is and what God is doing in our lives and in the world around us. We don't have to fully understand what's happening to think about what is happening. Every week in worship, we say the Apostles' Creed, which has the doctrine of the Trinity in it. And it is possible to just say those words every week without really understanding what we're saying. But that doesn't really respect our uniquely Christian way of understanding God, ourselves, and one another. So in the upcoming weeks, whenever you get a moment, I challenge you to grapple with what that mysterious, inconceivable triune God means to you. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our communion hymn, Loaves Were Broken, Words Were Spoken.
Thank you. communion outline very often. I'll let you know what we do, but yeah. So, but you'll know when you have the things that you have to say. All right, let us gather. It is into the name of the Holy Trinity that each of us are baptized, and it is in the confession of God's saving power in our lives that we continue to live in God's presence. At this holy table, we again affirm that Jesus, the Son of God, is indeed the Messiah and Lord, and it's only in the power of the Holy Spirit that we can make that affirmation. This is not Glenshaw Valley's table. This is not even a Presbyterian table. This is God's table, with a feast now prepared for you and for all people, a feast of good things, a feast of peace. Come and taste, eat and be filled, drink deep and never thirst again. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
We praise your name, most holy God, for it is good and you are good. You reveal yourself to us in countless ways, even inviting us into the mystery of your inmost being, where you are one and three and three and one. In your creation, you show us the marks of your hand, and in creating us in your image, you call us to bear your presence into all of the world. For your wondrous being and your glorious creation, we join our praise with the sound of all creation and sing joyfully in the praise of your wondrous glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. We, your church, sing your praise, eternal God. For in your threefold glory, we know Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, fully human, fully God. He was born of low estate and lived among us, an ordinary man in an ordinary time, who yet showed your extraordinary grace. He proclaimed your coming kingdom in word and deed, challenging the powerful, healing the sick and distressed, and calling people to live in light and life. Even though he was executed by the powers of the day, you raised him to new life to show your power was stronger than death. Still now, he reigns in glory, united in your holy oneness, to show your presence to all people. Remembering his life, death, and resurrection, we gather at this table, as he did, to share the feast of heaven and earth, that by your power, we might be united with you in this bread and this cup. We pray, eternal God, that you make yourself known to us in three persons, yet bound together in one perfect communion of love. As we break this bread, may we come to more perfect awareness of the unity of the church you have called together as one through your Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took the bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do this in remembrance of me." Every time you eat this bread or drink this cup, you proclaim the same God, for the people of God.
Let us pray. Creator God, we give you thanks for the grain farmers, the bread bakers, the grape growers, the juice makers. Redeemer God, we give you thanks for all that we remember as we have shared this meal. Your birth, your life, your death, and resurrection. Sustaining God, we give you thanks for the eternal presence of your Spirit with us, surrounding us and filling us with divine life. May this meal we have shared renew us and inspire us to join more joyfully with you as you work for peace and justice in the world. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit for our closing hymn, God Has Spoken by the Spirits. Before we leave this place, let me leave you with a charge and benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, go and make disciples, baptizing and teaching. And remember, Christ is with you always, to the end of the age. Amen.